Tracy McClure has been reporting for us on Pope Benedict XVI's apostolic visit to Lebanon. And while based in Beirut, she spoke at a Favabulos Wehebi, a Greek Orthodox priest. Let's listen to this interview.
I am an Orthodox priest. I have a parish in Beirut, and I'm also a professor at Notre Dame University in Lebanon.
Now, Father Paul, because Boulos means
it's
Paul.
It's the same.
I know that well. What were your impressions of this visit? Were you there at the Mass on Sunday?
No, I was not, because I had to do the liturgy in my church. But my impression of the visit was that it was a blessing, first for Lebanon, then for Christians in Lebanon at large, and for Christians in the whole Arab world and Middle East. The fact that it was a blessing was felt by everyone. Everyone I talked to, everyone I saw on TV or read articles for in the newspapers, expressed the same feeling, whether they were Christian or Muslim. But I think that the most important thing about the visit is not the visit itself, but how the visit will be translated later into praxis, how the churches will take the apostolic exhortation, and how they will try to translate its various sections into making this visit a progressive effect, and not only like one shot, and the just like the glow of the sun, the sunset, and then everything goes away.
Now, you're Greek Orthodox, so what interest do you have in how the Catholic Church puts into practice this apostolic exhortation?
I believe that all the churches are one church. Even though we are unfortunately divided due to either circumstances of history or due to some doctrinal differences, but I believe that the church is one. I believe that our Heavenly Father, when He looks at us, He looks at us as one church, just like a father looks at his children, even though they may be a bit divided on the ground. So I believe that we are, especially in Lebanon, but I think now the situation is becoming like that in the world at large. We are all in the same boat in Lebanon and in the Middle East, in the Arab world. And if we cannot see each other as one church and work together, if we cannot collaborate on so many levels, whether social or otherwise, then I think that no one can succeed alone. I believe that we have a lot to do together, and I believe that we have to cooperate, and we have to start looking at each other not as adversaries or as divided, but rather as different entities within unity. It's difference within unity. I do not believe that the Pope is the head of a church which is not my church. I believe this is also my church, and I believe that the Pope, even though maybe he is looked at differently from an Orthodox perspective, but I believe that the Pope is a blessing in every sense of the word, and that he has a lot to give with respect to teaching, with respect to the effect that he has to put. And we as Orthodox feel that we are part and parcel of this large boat.
And how do you, as the Greek Orthodox Church here in Lebanon, how do you cooperate with the Catholic churches?
There is more than one level of cooperation. There is the cooperation which is happening on the ground with respect to intermarriages and with respect to people being together. And the number of intermarriages among Orthodox and Catholics and among Christians at large is very much increasing in Lebanon, not decreasing. And because of that, this forges a level of cooperation and relationship between the parish priests, between the bishops, between people who are together. Now, we cooperate maybe sometimes officially, sometimes unofficially. Now, officially, there is something called the Synod of the Patriarchs of the East, which means meets once or twice a year, whereby the patriarchs, whether they are Orthodox or Catholics, and the Protestants also join in, they discuss common concerns. And these common concerns are translated many times by programs on the ground. And one of them, which I had mentioned to you before, is Christian education. There is Christian education which is given in Lebanon in the official schools and in schools that pertain to either monastic orders or to bishops. And the patriarchs agreed that we will have only one Christian education program, and I was entrusted from the Orthodox side to form a committee with the late Father Jean Corbon, who was one of the prominent theologians in the Catholic Church. And now 8 books have come out, and they are one unified program where a committee from all the churches, presided by a committee of bishops from all the churches, are coming together, and they have been produced. Many prints have been made, many editions, and they are being widely used. And they would not have been widely used had the ground not been prepared. People do not feel anymore, and this is increasing, they do not feel anymore that we are different churches, but rather that we are really the same church. Maybe another level of cooperation is in Lebanon. Maybe this is a peculiarity of Lebanon. In Lebanon, there is intercommunion between the churches.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that Catholics take communion in Orthodox churches, mm-hmm. and vice versa. And you don't find this in many other parts of the world. And also, whenever we have weddings or funerals or baptisms, you have priests from different churches coming together and celebrating these ceremonies or mm-hmm. sometimes the sacraments together. And this is quite formidable. I mean, you don't see that in any other place in the world, which prompts me to say, and excuse me for sounding to be exaggerating, I think that Lebanon now is the par excellence, the most ecumenical country on the planet.
Well, good for you. The Pope, as we speak, we're here in Vatican Radio Studios in Beirut. As we speak, Pope Benedict is meeting at the Syriac Catholic Patriarchate.
There is Shirfi.
In Shirfi.
Yes.
And what sort of message do you think that Pope Benedict gave on this trip to his brethren in the other Christian churches?
He gave them a message of love, a message of brotherhood. It was not a message that was coming from on high, ex cathedra, but it was the message of an elder brother in Christ, a message of someone who is responsible, someone who feels that God has entrusted him with the responsibility of proclaiming a message of brotherhood and peace. I think the main three messages that the Pope gave, the first was, hold on, do not leave, hold on to your faith and to your land. And the second message,
which was a message, of course, directed to all of the Christians.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the second message was, he was putting responsibility on the shoulders of the heads of the churches and of the church officials to translate this, not only with respect to also them echoing his wishes, but rather to translate this into action. What can the churches now do to maybe combat or to make the people who are suffering from so many ills to alleviate their pains or to provide for them and to give them reasons not to leave? I think the third was a formidable message, which was a message of, I do not like to use the word, but I'm using it now for perhaps lack of an immediate synonym, a coexistence, and I would like to refer to it as one living together with the Muslims. I think that the document that the Mufti of Lebanon gave him yesterday in the presidential palace was maybe a document that I have never read anywhere, written or issued by a Muslim official.
What impressed you so much about that document?
The document said that Christians and Muslims are sharing the same land, the same destiny, and it says that any assault on a Christian or on a church is an assault on a Muslim or on a mosque. And that he said that we hold on to the Christians being here because without them, Eastern Islam is not the same. There is a lot of Islam in the cultural personality of the Eastern Christian, and there is a lot of Christianity in the cultural personality of the Arab Muslim. And I think that this flavor is due to that we are together. How can we hold on to this? I think the Pope gave an impetus to this. He gave a push forward, and he also gave a message on comfort, either for the Christians or for the Christians and the Muslims together, or for the Muslims per se. I'm so happy with the visit. I mean, I cannot just tell you how happy I am with the visit, really.
But I'd love to talk to you also about the education project that you're involved in.
In 1996, there was a very famous meeting that took place between the patriarchs, what we call of the East, the Orthodox and the Catholic patriarchs of the East. And they produced a famous document, an agreement on 5 points. One of them that, for example, First Communion is not given in schools but in parishes to be able to respect each other, because the Orthodox give First Communion during baptism for the infants, common marriages and so forth. But one of the most important decisions they took in 1996, which was in Deir Sharifi, by divine coincidence, because today the Pope is having his ecumenical meeting with the heads of the other churches in Deir Sharifi as well. So in 1996, they took a decision to have a common Christian education program and to start implementing it in official schools, and for it to become like a pebble in the lake for the concentric circles to widen. Two people were entrusted with forming this committee. Father Jean Corbon, as I said, he was like my soulmate. God rest his soul. And he was a very prominent theologian. He was also instrumental, for example, in Vatican II. Father Corbon had this dream for a long time, and he also had the program put on paper. So we formed a committee of representatives of all the churches, Catholic and Orthodox. And we had his skeleton as the backbone of the program. We started with the first book for the, there were supposed to be 11 books, a book for pupil and a book for the teacher, and then for workshops to be done to train the teachers to have the ecumenical outlook and to how to use the books. And then by also divine grace, the Protestants, the Protestant Synod of Syria and Lebanon, the head, he contacted us. He said, why are we not a part of this program? And we said, well, this is our program, which has the sacraments in it. It has icons. It has intercession of saints. If you agree to this, welcome, welcome. And they said, we agree, of course, maybe in the last three books of the series, we would put at the end of the books that this is the position of the Protestant churches on certain issues. We said, okay, if you agree, welcome. So they joined in by their own request, and the committee became ecumenical in every sense of the word. And we have become to produce these books one after the other and after
but
the other.
But what can people find in these books?
They can find the teaching that is common between the churches. We have not mentioned any points of disagreement. For example, the infallibility of the Pope, the Immaculate Conception, the Purgatory, and whatever it is, are not mentioned. Now, if a pupil wants to inquire about these, they are encouraged to go to their parish priests. And also, they contain elements from all the liturgical traditions of all the churches, from the fathers of all the churches. They contain icons from all the traditions. So a person who opens the book would see in it elements or depictions or certain sections that contain a panoramic view that makes the the pupil or the student acquire a sense that I belong to the universal church, not only to my own tradition, because it's much more diversified than that. And they are really gaining acceptance, and they're being widely used in so many of the schools and the parishes in Lebanon.
You know, we're speaking about education. It makes me think back to the Synod for Lebanon's bishops, which was, I believe, 1995.
Yes, the apostolic exhortation was in 97, yes.
Yes. And at that synod, the bishops were very often saying, hey, look, we need to really look at our history books here in Lebanon and how we as Lebanese are telling the story of our history, and especially
this is another case, because unfortunately the Lebanese are divided on how to have a common interpretation of many episodes of their history, whether prior to the civil war or the civil war itself. And this is why, after the war ended in 1990, the Ministry of Education produced unified programs for all the topics, whether they are literature, chemistry, or whatever it is. The only area where a common curriculum was not devised was the area of history. And this is taking more time to produce, because as I told you, that there are certain episodes due to political maybe views, or due to sometimes sectarian outlooks, there are different interpretations of certain areas of history.
With your initiative, then, what do you hope that young people who are going to school today, what are they going to take home with them?
We hope that they're going to take home a view that they are Christian, and that they belong to one church, and that when we were choosing a cover for the books, I remember Father Corbon said, let's choose a different cover for every book. And I gave an idea that fortunately was accepted. I said, let's choose the same cover but different colors for each year. And we chose the cover which is the icon of church as the bark of the tree, and branches who are the apostles coming out of the tree. And I said, let us see this as a depiction of the church. Christ is the church, and every branch, which may look different from the other branch, is rooted in Christ. So we have different flavors, but we are all part of the same tree, who is Jesus Christ.
And you were listening there to Father Boulos Wehebi speaking to Tracy McClure. Father Wehebi is a Greek Orthodox priest based in Beirut.